From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Spectrum 360 is hosted by Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright and is a progressive talk show covering political talk and humor, also arts and culture. And we have a great program for you tonight. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work. Okay. Hello, and I wonder what people are thinking.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Ah, yes, that's what they're thinking. Okay, well, we are going to introduce the program tonight. On segment one, we are going to have an interview with Chris Obrowski, who's a candidate for the City of Tarpon Springs City Commission. That's the same thing as a city council. For you people that don't know the difference, it is a little confusing. It's not a county commission, it's a city commission. On segment two, we're going to be talking about the war with Syria and efforts to get it going and the efforts to stop it, both sides of the issue there. And then we're also going to be speaking in segment three, in the second half of the program, we're going to be speaking about the Wisconsin sing-along protests and the demonstrations that went with them and the whole situation in Wisconsin regarding arrests of people that are using their free speech rights and are not breaking any laws, but are being arrested anyway. We'll be talking extensively about that. We'll also have a talk given by Will Williams on those subjects. Will Williams is a Vietnam veteran. He's a member of Veterans for Peace, the Madison, Wisconsin chapter. He's been to jail recently two times for singing in the Capitol. Singing, yes, that was singing.
Well, I think if we were singing, maybe we would get arrested. But
well, speak that's for yourself. Different reasons. I've got a music degree, so I think that applies here. He's also a member, or actually was covered in the film The Good Soldier, which I have not seen yet, but I understand is a very good documentary film. We'll have a couple of segments with him from what he said at the Veterans for Peace National Convention in Madison, Wisconsin in early August. But first, to our first segment, we're going to go to that right after we go to Bruce Wright, and Bruce Wright is going to give us some acknowledgments and thank the people that are supporting this program and are helping to produce this program and bring it to you. Take it away, Bruce.
Well, welcome to our radio audience. I've been told many times that I have a face for radio. So anyway, without going into that, I do want to thank some people for supporting this show in various ways and acknowledge both the efforts they make and to let people know that if they wish to advertise, we are going to be having advertising soon as well, and they can contact us if you have an interest there. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I should say that right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have a large studio audience.
Yes,
here tonight.
A very large studio audience.
In fact,
he weighs about 500 pounds. His name is George. He's sitting in the corner there. Anyway, bad jokes. So we want to thank the following organizations. The Refuge, that can be reached at 727-278-1547. The Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. That's economichumanrights.org. Veterans for Peace, Chapter 119. You can catch them on Facebook. And we also want to thank a local coffee house that has just the best coffee and desserts and food in the area, Gennaro's Coffee House, 1047 Central Avenue. You can call 727-202-6956.
Okay, stop right there. It's Gennaro, not Gennaro's. You always say the O.
O's. I emphasize
Gennaro.
The O.
O.
Gennaro. Oh, anyway, I could be Sam Kinison and go, oh, anyway.
Oh,
hey, what did Sam Kinison say when he was driving over the cliff?
Oh, I'm afraid to even ask. I'm
sorry.
You got to practice that.
Anyway, yeah, we didn't. That was real impromptu. But please go and support Gennaro
Coffee
House.
Dear, that must be terribly uncomfortable.
And you can reach them at 727-202-6956. Every Monday night, they show documentary films with St. Pete for Peace. Every Saturday night, they have some amazing poetry with Mona at 8:30. We also want to thank Relax at Home, licensed massage therapist, 813-784-7485. My Place in Recovery, you can reach them at 727-244-0427. And also the Catholic Worker of St. Petersburg and the League of Revolutionaries for New America, that's LRNA.org. Our guest last week is with, or was and is with, the League of Revolutionaries for New
America. Say that five times fast.
Yes, exactly. you may recall he had a very unusual name. His name was General Baker.
Yes, and General Baker. That was his real name.
That's his actual first name, General. I mean, I guess you have to stand at attention every time you see this guy. But I would encourage you guys to take a listen to our podcast. We do have a podcast up now of the first show. And without further ado, I know that we have a wonderful interview today, and I want to turn that over to my co-host, Mark, and he's going to introduce us to our guest.
Yes, this is indeed Mark Skogman, and I do have as a studio guest in studio tonight, staying up past his bedtime, Mr. Chris Zabrowski. Now, I want to give a full disclosure notification here. In 2006, Mr. Zabrowski ran for Florida State House of Representatives in District 45. I was a supporter of his campaign and also a campaign worker for Chris Zabrowski back in 2006. Also, Chris was one of the principal people involved in Friends of the Anclote River, which successfully fought Walmart from building on a very environmentally sensitive place on the Anclote River and was very successful with that. I was involved with that to some extent, doing some technical support work at some times, and I want to fully disclose that and how we know each other in those efforts. And without further ado, I'm going to ask Mr. Zabrowski to get into the conversation here. And Chris, tell us why you originally ran in 2006. What happened there? Why did you run for State House originally?
Well, originally I began running for office.
And get a little closer to the microphone, please.
It all started when I got it. All right. It all started when I first appeared at City Commission, and I Tarpon Springs City Commission, and I noticed that our politicians weren't listening to the will of a people. There were 300 people that showed up that day, and we told them that we didn't want that Walmart there. We had very good grounds for this, and they did not pay attention to that. And then I started to notice that the state legislature was doing an even more horrendous job of listening to the people. And so I decided to run.
That's great, because I remember being at some of those city commission meetings where there were some very good councilmen and councilwomen that were listening to the will of the public, but there were some that absolutely disregarded, you know, large numbers of constituents that were right in the chamber for these meetings, and that didn't seem to make any difference. And I remember that you did, definitely, and I congratulate you for that. Now, moving on up to the Friends of the Anclote River, can you describe that effort a little bit? I alluded to it just briefly earlier, but tell us exactly what that was and exactly what happened.
Well, we had a large group of people, again, that turned out. I believe it started in 2004. By 2005, we had a very large number of people organized. We raised over $100,000 for attorney's fees. Unfortunately, I think we whittled it down to 20 people on the lawsuit. And the attorney basically took the money and then called each of us and told us that we needed to sign a settlement agreement with Walmart.
Oh, I remember that.
Right.
I remember that now. It was kind of astounding.
Yeah. And each person in turn signed this agreement until the attorney got a hold of me. And I said,
No,
I won't be signing that document.
To summarize,
he got very upset and basically I had to go in front of a judge and say that I would be taking the case pro se, which I did for a period of time until we could get another attorney on board. And this was, you know, we finally realized you don't fight Walmart dollar for dollar. because they have more money.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did not do. And that was a very interesting strategy, considering it's the largest corporation in the world.
Right. We flipped it. We started to match them dollar for dollar. We had a lot of big donors. You know, 100 grand is a lot of money. We blew all that. One attorney took it all in one shot. And then we got volunteers, legal experts, you know, basically college kids that knew what they were talking about, knew what they were doing, and they came in and they gave us advice. And
passionate activists.
Yes, and a lot of passionate activists that actually we each of us had to learn how to read legalese, and we got very good at it. What's that?
I say that's no small task.
Oh, I'll tell you what. And I've had to hit the delete key in my brain every now and then to re-up for more stuff. But I'll tell you, we did beat them at their own game. So they started to spend so much money, they couldn't keep it up. And we went to every state agency, federal agency, to put roadblocks in front of them, and we won. They finally did what I originally told them to do. They found another site. They built in the defunct Walmart. The defunct Kmart Plaza on Tarpon Avenue.
Yeah, which was the common sense thing to do
to begin
with. That's
what they should have done from the beginning.
And I also remember one thing that Walmart did was they were illegally killing gopher tortoises that are a protected species. And I remember being on the site there covering this. And watching Walmart's lawyer blatantly lying directly to our faces about what they were doing, which was killing the gopher tortoises, and they were basically saying that they weren't.
Right.
So they were violating other laws there as well.
And, you mean to tell me a corporate lawyer lied?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Directly to our faces. On the site of the Anclot River, there, right where the proposed site was for the
store. Were you both tempted to push him in the river and...
I was tempted to file a bar complaint, but
we did file a bar complaint, but it didn't go anywhere, unfortunately. Dori Larson actually filed that complaint in her name, and because they did break the law.
Yeah.
It was a clear breach of the law, but you know, the bar didn't see it our way.
Very interesting. Now, coming up to the current time, why are you running for a city commission now here in 2013, starting a campaign?
Yes.
Now?
Well, as you may know, I've been a regular attendee of the Tarpon Springs City Commission since about 2004. I've been speaking since about 2005, putting in my two cents and participating in my local
almost
government.
10 years now.
That's right, about eight or nine years.
That's a lot of sweat equity in the campaign.
Since I go to most of the meetings, and each time I would speak, I'd say once or every couple of months, somebody would come up to me and say, "Hey, I really like what you said, and why don't you run for one of those seats?" And I had a dozen excuses for that. This year, I started to look at it more seriously, and I wasn't going to file until someone else, you know, did that I didn't approve of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I then on July 16th, they did the unthinkable. I was in the audience, and I came home from work like I always do. Run to the laptop, read the agenda, and then I go to the meeting. I saw a word I didn't know what it meant, and I looked it up. It was subordination of a loan, and I said, "What the heck is this?" So I Googled it real quick and shot out the door. Basically meant to put a loan behind another loan. Got to the meeting. They get to this agenda.
Like a second mortgage?
Oh, well, I'm going to explain that here.
Okay.
What they do in Tarpon Springs is they force you to go from septic tank to sewer. When they do that, they will loan you the money to do it. So they will put that as a lien against your home.
Isn't that redundant, though, a septic tank and then a sewer?
No, you remove yourself from the septic tank and go on to sewer.
Oh, okay, that's what you meant. I'm sorry. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes, and so when they do that, they loan you the money to do it, and then you pay it off monthly like you would with your water bill, right? Now, this family had one of these loans, and they wanted to refinance their home. And the city attorney had written a memo saying we shouldn't do this because it would be putting our loan behind this new mortgage, and then we may never get our money. Guess what? It was only $400 for one thing. Mm. The people weren't late on their payments to the city. They only had a couple more payments to go. And so it was somewhat ridiculous to begin with. So I got up and spoke, begging them not to do this to this family because they were using the words foreclosure, saying, "Hey, if they get foreclosed on, then they will never see our $400, right?" Well, Susan Slattery, one of the people, the Friends of the Anclot River that we got elected on the commission, she was a real estate person. So she's still on there. And she said, "Hey, this is something you have to do in order for these people to refinance their home. You have to do this process." And not only were they gearing up to vote against this family, but worse than that, Towns and Terrapani, the youngest commissioner just elected, gets on his high horse and says, well, where's the family? If it was my house on the line, I'd be here to defend myself, so I'm going to vote against them. He and the mayor both said this, and they did just that. Everybody except for Susan voted against this family. Now, I shouted from the audience, did you bother to contact them?
Exactly.
Silence. So after the meeting, I shot up to the attorney and I said, it's public record. Give me that address of that family. He gave me the address. I punched it into my phone. It was 5 minutes away. I drove straight to the house, knocked on the door, and guess what? They had not been contacted.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, but they've been in that house for 30 years. They knew the most recently elected commissioner since he was a child.
And, really?
Yes, and he knew them.
So they're really vested
in
the community.
Yeah, how you like this? So...
And they got no notice of this whatsoever,
whatsoever.
So they had no knowledge of the hearing that was taking right at the time that you were there.
Precisely correct. So I called the city attorney on the way home, and I said, guess what? I'm giving you the common courtesy, the common decency that you didn't give this family. I'm letting you know that you made a huge mistake, and you're going to hear about it tomorrow. Hung up on him. 9 a.m., I called the city manager, Mark LaCouris, and I said, look, you guys have done it this time. You've pushed me over the edge. I'm going to file for office. I'm going to run, and I'm going to tell everybody in this town what you did. But I'd like to be able to tell them that you and I spoke about it, and you fixed it. He immediately agreed, hung up the phone, called the bank, and he turned the process around. He said, halt everything. We're going to have another vote on Friday. They had a special session on Friday, and they re-voted. And so that family got to refinance their house.
Okay, what was the... I mean, this may be an obvious question, but what was the result of the revote? It was in favor of the family, correct?
Yes, it was. They only had the four commissioners minus Susan vote, so it was basically unanimous.
Well, great job assisting the family. Fantastic.
Well, check this out. Then I go back on the 23rd, which was the next meeting, and I blasted them and said that you owe an apology to that family and an apology to the entire city of Tarpon Springs. So there isn't one family in this city that's better than any other. And more than that, we are one big family in this city. And so I requested that they make it an official policy that they contact families or anyone that is going to have their name appear on an agenda before they get slandered in front of the city on television, right?
That seems like such a common sense, right?
Oh so
gosh.
Guess what? This last Tuesday, the September 3rd, that finally happened. It was the second-to-last agenda item. I talked Jeff Larson into getting this on there. He got it on there, and we passed it. So now they will have to contact people
that's great.
before they can say anything about them in front of
You know, and this happens so often, these almost like behind-your-back kind of foreclosure situations. You know,
right.
I work with the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. We deal with these kind of foreclosure situations all the time, and it's unbelievable what cities and municipalities get away with. In relation to that, because I would guess too, is this somewhat connected to violating the Sunshine Law in some
way?
Well,
what it was I finally realized exactly what it was. Since I filed for office, they gave me the backup material. They allow me access to the same backup material that the commissioners get.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally reams of information. So what happens is these people that are commissioners are not reading it. Mm. They'll skip the consent agenda and go down to the ordinances where so they can figure out some intelligent-sounding questions to ask about those. But they'll take all the opinions from the city staff and the city attorney on everything else without reading it and finding out what it is. So the city attorney he wrote that memo. It was his opinion that the city should not subordinate that loan.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If they had read it, if the commissioner Banther had read it, he would have seen that the family that knew him as a child, that was them.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? They did not read it. They did not read it. So this was just negligence.
So they're doing just a very poor, very easy version of the job, and it's just inadequate for the work that they're actually required to do.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the case.
It reminds me a lot of the U.S. Congress, how often bills are passed, reams of paper, i.e. U.S. Patriot Act, for instance.
Yes, that's a famous incident.
Yeah, no one reads it.
They did not read
it. Not even their aides.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's unbelievable the legislation that's passed in our not only at the national level, but locally, the things that are passed against people and the will of the people without even the person. Don't you have that? Isn't there something in the Constitution about standing before your accusers?
Right. It's a good point.
Somewhere in that Constitution.
Yeah, right to confront your accuser.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so we finally have that now in Tarpon Springs.
You wow.
Know, welcome
great
to
job.
2013. Well,
2013, democracy happens in Tarpon Springs. Would it happen in other cities? I hope so.
Yes, I hope so. So what other issues are you concerned about in the city? Is there anything else other than these kind of situations that also concern you as well? Environment, finances, infrastructure, et cetera?
Well, naturally, I mean, there's the... You know, it's basically all these small issues that fall through the cracks, right? The things that people aren't looking at. Now, Commissioner Dalakos is now a friend of mine, and that man does his homework.
Yes, he's a good commissioner. I've seen him in action.
You've seen him, right?
I have.
And he's now on the planning and zoning, thank goodness, because he helps keep, you know, finding those things that were falling through the cracks. And there were many things still going on. Like I told you about just before we went on air, the Walmart property, that was supposed to be made a park by this time. We had a deal going with the Trust for Public Lands, Bob Guido, and the city manager and local groups, and we were hoping that we could get the state, the city, and the county all together with enough funds to buy the property.
Yeah, that should be easy because it's like the obvious use for that type of land. It's such a great location for a park.
It's basically an island between two bridges, it's right on the river, and it has water on both sides.
A natural park.
Yeah, natural park. So we're still going to fight to make that happen. It's just now things have changed. Walmart has put that property on the open market. In one sense, it's good because it means that Walmart will not be trying to build on it. In the other sense, it's bad because they could sell it to another big box developer or anybody who would want to just develop it how they would want it. So it's...
And then it's like back to square one for the Friends of the Anclote River, having to fight that battle all over again after all that work that was done to preserve it up to this point.
Right, which is the conclusion that I came to the other day, and I had a moment of panic, and I called Al Norman of Sprawlbusters, who I had spoken with since 2006, and I just ran it by him and just getting a moment of clarity from him, a little bit of advice. And he says, well, look, it's basically, this is a good thing. We just got to get the city back on board. And so the city's willing to put up $1 million, $1.5 million if we could get the county to match that.
What's the situation with the county effort and the Pinellas County Commission?
That the city manager approached the county and the county said no. But he also said that
no to any funding at all?
That's what they said. Hmm. Now, just because they said that to him doesn't mean they would say that to the rest of us.
Do you know who in the county government said that?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But I can say this. If we get enough pressure on the county, enough citizens countywide, we can get matching funds. They've got $1 million. Not to mention, Walmart bought that property for $8 million at the height of the market. There's no way it's worth that now. Even though they're asking $8 million for it now, it's only worth about $5 or $6 million. So we just brought it down a few notches, right?
Mm-hmm.
The city puts up $1.5 million, the county puts up $1.5 million, that's $3 million. We're almost there. Now, I happen to know a church that's interested in part of the property, and I'd love to see that happen.
Have a church in part or all of the property?
It would be on part of the property.
Well, that would be a nice, calm use for it without a lot of high traffic, unless it was like one of these big box churches.
No.
Big box churches.
Yeah. I just coined that term on air.
I like
just
that.
Now.
Big box churches.
Well, you know, Calvary Church is exactly that. They bought the old Walmart. Mm-hmm. And they are a big box church.
Yes, I've been to that church as well, and that's exactly the case.
It is an old Walmart.
That's right.
Yeah, it is a very ironic church as well. I have been there more than once.
Yes. So we can make this a reality. We can still make our property a park, and so I'm going to keep fighting for that.
You know, Chris, I really want to thank you for being on top of local politics too, because there's a lot of things going on in our county. Just one quick thing that people may not be aware of. They're trying to promote a penny tax to increase the bus schedules and bus transportation. And I think it's an awesome thing as someone who rides the bus. It's necessary. We need to get in the 21st century. Our buses don't run 24/7.
Right.
There's not enough routes. And, you know, these are the kind of things that people like yourself, when you keep on top of it, it really helps.
Yes, I would agree. So, Chris, can you give us a little bit more information? Do you have a campaign website? How can people contact you and volunteer for your campaign, give donations, et cetera?
Yes. My website is helpelectchris.com.
Oh, and he's handing out the business cards as we speak. Very good.
Helpelectchris.com. And There's a lot of information on there, more than you would find on your average campaign website.
Yes, I was actually on it last night, and I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So please check it out, and you can donate on there as well. And I'm actually having a meet and greet at the Eco Bean Coffee House on Alt 19, right next to Mama's. The exact address just escaped me, but it's on Alt 19, just short of Dodecanese. It's across from Pine.
Okay.
And when is
yes.
that?
This will be this Friday, Friday, September 13th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We've got June Bustamante coming out to play.
Yes, that's I see that. She's great. I've heard her before. She's a friend of mine, actually.
Yeah, fantastic. So come on out and join the fun and ask me any questions you like when you get there.
Great. Well, very good. Chris Obrowski, running for City of Tarpon Springs City Commission, and that's seat two, correct?
That's correct.
Seat two. Well, thank you for coming in and being interviewed and staying up for the late night here on WTAN, and we appreciate the indulgence, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, man.
Okay, and in a couple minutes, we're going to break for the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do a little bit of discussion on the situation with the Iraq war and the interesting development that happened today. And we also have that segment coming up on the Wisconsin sing-along protest with a perspective on that by Will Williams, Madison Veterans for Peace member and a Vietnam veteran, wounded Vietnam veteran who suffers from a lot of trauma and a lot of PTSD because of his service in Vietnam. He's going to have his perspective on that. That's all coming up after the bottom of the hour. Bruce, do you have any other announcements or any other acknowledgments you want to make
before
the break?
I was just going to say, first of all, I hope you have the applause thing queued up because we're going to have to owe a big round of applause to John Kerry for botching it so wonderfully in our favor, which we'll discuss that at the other side of the hour. But there is going to be... There is going to be a protest again this Saturday. Against invading and bombing Syria. That's at 6 p.m. Saturday, September 14th at the corner of Del Mabry and Gandhi Boulevard in Tampa. And also the 21st, which is a Saturday, is World Peace Day, and there'll be a major event happening at Gennaro Coffee House, part of their open mic poetry night. Veterans for Peace will be there along with some poets that are veterans, and so we're really looking forward to that. More announcements forthcoming, but you have been listening, of course, to Spectrum 360. We should get one of those kind of echo things. Spectrum.
I'm working on that for next week. We may have that by next week.
But anyway,
this is indeed Spectrum 360, and we're close to the top of the hour. Come back in 5 minutes for more Spectrum 360. We're going to let the station take it for a little while here, and we will be back with more Spectrum 360.
Good news. TAN Talk Radio is hiring sales representatives in both Florida and Arkansas. As a TAN Talk Network sales representative, you can work from home or on the outside. Call now for all the details. Call Lola Jean, the broadcast queen, at 727-510-7622. That's 727-510-7622. Call Lola Jean now, 510-7622. Call TAN Talk now. Start sales work tomorrow.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the TAN Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Imus in the Morning.
Please welcome to the Imus in the Morning program. One of my favorite people, Larry the Cable Guy. Good morning, Mr. Guy. You look like you lost some weight.
Well, you know, I started at 294, got down to 280, and 275, and 265, and then my penis pushed through March 17th. And so we're excited about it. Jeez. I could see it for the first time. It was a big celebration. Now, the bad news is that means there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter this year. That's the bad part of it. And can I ask you a question? The people that are always on your show do doing characters? Why do they dress up like the characters? I mean, it's radio.
Oh, we're on TV, too.
Well, yeah. Well, all right. I can see that.
What do you think these kids... Let me ask you something, Larry.
All right.
I'm going to speak slowly.
Look into the camera.
What do you think these cameras and all these lights are for?
My God, when did you get on TV?
Catch Imus in the Morning right here on the stations of the Tantalk Network.
If you're in the market for your next car, then the place to shop is AutoShopper.com. You'll have access to hundreds of dealers right here in the area. And you can search over millions of cars nationwide on AutoShopper.com. AutoShopper.com is in hundreds of locations in the Tampa Bay area. Find your next car by taking advantage of all the power and reputation of AutoShopper.com. From your desktop, you can read car reviews, automotive news, calculate payments, use our tools to research, and get a Carfax vehicle history report at AutoShopper.com. This is the publication to pick up and read when you're looking to purchase your next car. Log on to AutoShopper.com and search for your special vehicle. And if you want to sell your vehicle, then advertise it in AutoShopper.com magazine. The readers can view a picture of your car and call you directly. It's all happening at AutoShopper.com, your auto buying and selling source. Pick up the magazine today or log on to AutoShopper.com, the premier source for car buying or selling. AutoShopper.com.
For all your home repair needs, call Ed's Handyman Services at 727-224-8681. For example, toilets, faucet, door locks, and much, much more. Impeccable quality work and reliable real-time service at an astonishing affordable price. Ed provides a clean, safe work environment from start to finish. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Ed guarantees all his work. So call Ed now at 727-224-8681.
We're talking to Eric Serene, who's been with Bill Dawson at Best Services for 27 years. They're the official air conditioning service of the Tantalk Radio Network for more than 20 years. We all have air conditioners, and when it gets hot, there's a lot of problems with them because they haven't turned them on for a long time. Why should they call Best Services, Bill?
We provide 24-hour service, and obviously our guys have the experience and the expertise to provide quality service. And we're known for our honesty, integrity. You know, a lot of people could say that, but
that's really important.
It really is.
We're talking to Eric Serene with Bill Dawson at Best Services. They have 24-hour emergency service. Here's how you reach them. In Pinellas, it's 727-773-0151. In Pasco, the number is 842, also 727-842-3357. Let me give you their website, bestservicesHVAC.com. BestServicesHVAC.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah, that is Chicago in Beginnings, and this is the second half of Spectrum 360, your progressive political talk and humor program. And we got a little bit of additional music here for you that I thought you might find interesting.
Your situation, you better join an organization. If you want to change your situation, you better join an organization. If you want to change your situation, you better join an organization. If you want to change your situation, you better join an organization.
I want
to play the whole segment sometime. That's really cool.
We're definitely going to. I want to explain who that is. That is a rap musician by the name of Head Rock, and he lives in Washington, D.C. He's affiliated with Empower D.C., and it's very interesting. They're doing progressive politics there in a very good way. David Cobb, who is a former presidential candidate from the Green Party and is also the current head of the Move to Amend movement, trying to amend the Constitution to get rid of the Citizens United decision that was done by the Supreme Court a few years ago. That David Cobb is involved with them in the Empower DC effort. He's been up there, and Head Rock is quite an interesting guy. You know, us white bread guys right here in our 50s, one with a medium tan and one lily white. I won't
that,
say
that would
which.
Be Mark. No, I'm just kidding.
Not. Anyway, you know, we don't do a lot of hanging out with black rap musicians from D.C., although I like to. And I was at the Democracy Convention in Madison, Wisconsin in early August, and I had the opportunity to meet the man and see him, and he was actually very, very good. And I wanted to play a little segment there of this is from his CD, and the actual name of the song. Now, I call it, if you want to join an organization, or if you want to change your situation, join an organization, but the actual name of the song is the Superbad 3 Solution. Now, I don't know where he gets that, but it's a very cool song, and we'll play more of it either later in this program or in the next program. It's very good. So we want to go to the next segment, and the next segment is a discussion between myself and Bruce Wright about the situation with the proposed action against Syria by the United States, and pro and con. There's been a big development today in that, and also Bruce's information about an anti-Syria war demonstration that happened on Saturday, this last Saturday, and that was September 7th, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Well, give us a little more information about that, where it was and what happened. How many people were there?
Yeah, it's really amazing the numbers of people that are showing up. We're getting well over 100. And for those who know or are in the know about peace demonstrations of late, haven't had those kind of numbers. Those harken back to the Bush era. But people are so passionate about, and this is in the Tampa Bay area, about what's happening potentially with this potential attack on Syria, that they're coming out, and it's quite a diverse crowd. And this was the second demonstration, and we were out there covering it for Spectrum 360. We hope to have some audio from it next week.
But yes, yes.
We were out there covering it, and it just was amazing to me. We had a number of veterans there, including Iraqi war veterans, one of which shared with the press. We had mainstream media out there, which, if anyone knows anything about demonstrations, getting mainstream media out is a chore in and of itself. And so we had quite a few mainstream media out there covering it. And we had Iraqi war veterans. We had a number of Syrian nationals as well as Syrian citizens of this country that were out there demonstrating. We had young people, older people. We had business types. We had radical lefty types. I mean, it was a wide range of people, and that kind of underscores the sentiment that's going on around this. It's very rare that you see bipartisan support of something and bipartisan disagreement with something. And what's happening in Washington is kind of a strange situation in relation to that. And you know, most people are really, really calling into question, and it reminds them. Reminds me, in fact, of the same kind of justification we used to go into Iraq. And so a lot of people are concerned and rightly skeptical. And so, you know, the alleged evidence, which we haven't seen, by the way, supposedly some members of Congress have seen, but we haven't really seen the evidence that it was, in fact, Assad's regime that did the use of chemical weapons.
Well, let me address that issue just briefly, because there has been contradicting information about what the chemical weapons attack in Syria consisted of and actually who did it. And
yes,
we've got this information that it was chemical weapons provided by Saudi Arabia. That's one mover. And that there were it was a rebel group that did not know how to handle such weapons, which caused the one of the gas attacks. And then you have the administration saying that they have incontrovertible proof that it was done, and that they have intelligence, signals intelligence, about the command and control system in Syria actually ordering this attack. So it's very difficult to really know who to believe there. It's very contradictory information, and it makes me wonder. And, you know, and there's been a lot of emphasis put on the fact that there is this Iraq war shadow or Iraq war effect, where it's, you know, it's the crying wolf one too many times syndrome, where this kind of information is not believed in the country now because it's been false and very false so often and so recently. So there's fatigue there in just getting to the point where we can actually believe the intelligence and believe the leaders. And I saw some information today where there were over, I believe it was approximately 200 or more than 200 Congress people now are tending to not vote for the war, and that they've been contacted heavily by their constituents and the, your constituents are lobbying them vastly more against attacking Syria than for, at least at this time. And then it was this the situation that's developing with the Secretary of State Kerry today.
Oh, yes.
And Bruce, can
did
you comment
you
on that?
Did you queue up the applause for that one?
I could.
Secretary Kerry is now basically saying that, well, we may have been too hasty and we didn't really fully give them the option of saying, well, sure, I'll come in and inspect the weapons and if we have them and decommission them and make them unavailable for use with a UN oversight happening. And, you know, one begins to wonder, why didn't he do this? Why didn't Obama do this to begin with?
Well, we had a discussion before the program started, and my opinion of that is that this option, they didn't take seriously. They just did not think that the Assad regime in Syria would take it serious and would ever even consider doing that. So it was like a non-starter for them. So they didn't even consider it when actually they probably should have. It was interesting to note that just the threat, you know, just the start of a credible threat of force by the United States actually caused some defections from the regime in Syria. So it actually had a much more serious effect, just the start of the threat of it, than a lot of people realized. And what Kerry actually said was he isn't about to do it. But, you know, there were aides that suggested that the Secretary of State was not being as serious when he said that. But Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov immediately started to react as if it had been a serious proposal, and they started taking action on it. It was, my understanding is, within hours of that comment. So it's a very interesting, unexpected development, and perhaps this will calm the situation, prevent a war, and maybe there can be a security with those chemical weapons without having to have a multilateral military force go into Syria or the United States doing it unilaterally itself.
Yeah, and you know what? What's encouraging about this is that we may actually prevent a war for a change, and that there's such broad support. We realized there was in the build-up to Iraq eventually. I mean, it had broad support initially, but then people's support was waning when they realized what we were getting into. But in this case here, it started right from the beginning that the public, a broad spectrum of public from both sides of the aisle, from independents and from Congress and the Senate and just political officials in general. So this is a different kind of situation, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that this time we win.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you have to take into account the law of unintended consequences, and there's a lot of things that could possibly happen. Especially when Iran is threatening some type of retaliation if there is action taken in Syria. But this has really come out of nowhere. And we've got White House Deputy National Security Advisor Tony Blinken saying we would welcome Assad giving up his chemical weapons. That would be terrific. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is on board with this. British Prime Minister David Cameron is positive about this this proposal. And then we've got the two senators, Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, and Heidi Heitkamp, who I believe was just elected last year, if I remember right, a Democrat from North Dakota. They're opposed to a strike on Syria at this time, and they're proposing a resolution that would give Syria 45 days to join the International Convention Against Chemical Weapons and then take, quote, concrete steps, unquote, to comply with it. And if we could get a process started with Syria, I think that could actually stop any kind of military action, and we can solve this diplomatically and secure chemical weapons at the same time. So, interesting.
It would be a win-win situation for sure. Well, Mark, I know you've got some things to share with us. You are logged, I don't know, several thousand miles over the last several weeks, going
yes.
up to Wisconsin, quite the road dog, and just for the Democracy Convention, and I'm really excited to hear some stuff about what's going on in Wisconsin.
I will. Last month in August, early August, I did travel up to Madison, Wisconsin, and I was there basically not one, but actually three events. And one of them was the Democracy Convention, which we want to discuss a lot more on this program in future programs sometime soon. It's a great event. It's sponsored by the Liberty Tree Foundation. And it's an event that's very wide-ranging and is actually held every 2 years now. There's been there was one in 2011. There's been the second one here now in 2013. And I'm very much hoping that there will be another democracy convention in 2015. Also, at the same time, there was the Veterans for Peace National Convention literally right across the street. And then in the same hotel as the Veterans for Peace National Convention was being held, there was a Progressive Democrats of America event, which featured the great John Nichols, who just authored the book A Dollarocracy. And his previous book was Uprising, about the events in Wisconsin since Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's been elected. And I've been very concerned about these issues. And I did some reporting there while I was on the ground there in Madison and witnessed a lot of different things. One of the things that I did is ever since Scott Walker survived, I used the term advisedly, survived the recall election, there has been an anti-Scott Walker demonstration in the Capitol every weekday, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 p.m. for 1 hour, every day since then. And that's been over 300 days now that they've demonstrated. Can you imagine demonstrating 5 days a week for 1 hour? That's 5 hours a week of your life devoted to demonstrating, and yet there are people there every single day doing this. And what they're doing is, let me just describe it just briefly. They have what they call a solidarity sing-along. And the demonstration literally is mostly singing. There are announcements, and there are pronouncements about Scott Walker as well. But it basically is just a solidarity sing-along demonstration for 1 hour every single weekday. Now, most of the time, a lot of the time, it actually takes place outside the Capitol. But they have also gone inside the Capitol, into the Capitol Rotunda. They specifically go in there from noon to 1 p.m. because that's the lunch hour for just about everyone in the Capitol when there's very little going on because of the lunch break. They do not use the Rotunda if there is a permitted event that is already using the space. Then they go outside to do their demonstration. But on the days where there's not a permanent event in the Rotunda, they go into the Rotunda, and all they basically do is sing. This is being resisted by the Walker administration by sending the Capitol Police to now arrest people. There have been many, many arrests, and all they are doing is singing. So Scott Walker's Capitol Police are arresting people for exercising their constitutional rights in their building, their Capitol, at a time when there isn't very much going on in the Capitol, so they're not really disrupting anything. I mean, the government does have a right to do a reasonable time and use restrictions on free speech. So, you know, they may not allow this at midnight in the Capitol. And that's a perfectly reasonable thing. But from noon to 1 p.m. on a lunch break when most activity in the Capitol has stopped, what is wrong with the people using the space that they own for a free speech activity?
He's and obviously all it is not a music lover, is he?
Apparently not. So I've got, I did some interviewing there. I witnessed two of the demonstrations myself. The second day I was there, which I believe was the 12th of August, there were actually arrests that day. The first day I was there, the previous day, which was Monday, there were no arrests. In fact, there was a statement by the police that they would not do any arrests that day. The next day, the arrests started again, and this has been going on for a long time. I'm very concerned about this, and we've got some audio from Wisconsin that I'd like to play. There's actually a CD out called This Is What Democracy Sounds Like. It's a CD done by the Wisconsin Solidarity Sing-Along. And I'd like to play for you some segments here just so you can get a flavor of what's happening in Wisconsin right now.
Before we get started with any more singing, I'd like to do a quick call and response if you'd indulge me. Please, repeat after me. Wisconsin State Constitution.
Wisconsin State Constitution.
Article 1.
Article 1. Section 4.
The right of the people.
The right of the people.
Peaceably to assemble.
Peaceably to assemble.
To consult for the common good.
To consult for the common good.
And to petition the government.
And to petition the government.
Or any department thereof.
Or any department thereof.
Shall never be a bridge.
Shall never be a bridge.
Right on.
Okay, that was a...
What's disgusting?
That was one chant. Here's another. Okay, that was a couple of audio segments from the Wisconsin sing-along. The first one was simply reading the article of the Wisconsin state constitution that applies.
How dare they read the constitution in the state capitol? Yes,
these brazen citizens using their own space, reading their own documents, and singing in public. Oh, how terrible. And also there was that the pro-union chant, what's disgusting?
Union busting. I love that.
I love that guy's voice. He's just like flat out. It's hilarious just listening to him. We've also got, to try to close out the program here, I've got a couple of audio segments from a talk that was given by Will Williams, who is a man that I spoke about earlier in the program. He's a former, not a former, he's a Vietnam veteran, American military veteran from the Vietnam era. He was wounded in combat. He has a chronic PTSD, and yet he put his body on the line in these demonstrations in the Wisconsin Capitol. And just recently, I believe that was either in July or August, he has been arrested twice for singing in the Capitol. Now, this is a Vietnam veteran. He walks with a walker. Now, he's a very large black man. He looks very powerful, but he's older now, and he actually walks with a walker. And he addressed the Veterans for Peace National Convention demonstration outside, and right before they did a parade through downtown Madison. And he's a very powerful speaker, and I would like to play a few minutes of this here for you now to close out the program. We'll have more from him next week, but I do want you to get a flavor for what's happening in Wisconsin in terms of the individual people involved as well.
Check out those events. The convention isn't over yet. We have one more speaker, and then we'll have the Ford Monterey Band come out and lead us down the street. Will Williams, many of you know, is a Madison area member of Veterans for Peace. He's a Vietnam veteran who opposes war, and who has gone to jail for justice twice in recent weeks during the Solidarity sing-along. He's also part of a documentary called The Good Soldier, which interviews soldiers from conflicts from World War II up until the Iraq War, and talks about their experiences. And the DVD is for sale for $20. $10 of that goes to our local chapter, the Clarence Kalin Chapter of Veterans for Peace. So talk to him if you want to get a copy of this movie. Will Williams.
I know you've heard the word thank you a lot this evening, but growing up in Mississippi, that's Southern hospitality to say it, and I'll say it now. I want to thank everyone for being here, because I know most everyone would rather be somewhere else, either fishing on the beach or doing something. But you find it necessary to be here, because we are fighting a cause that must be fought. And when I see the word peace or hear it, I think of justice. Because to me, justice is the foundation for peace. Amen. Yeah. Woo. I've also heard many say they were taking our rights right here at this Capitol, the right of freedom of speech. No. No one can take your rights if you know what they are and you're willing to stand for them. Over the last month, the arrests have been wrapped up in the Capitol. And each time, more people showed up the next day. So you would think that the people there would understand that they're only making the problem escalate. As one that grew up in Mississippi, that was denied rights, the rights of anything. As one that left blood in Vietnam, supposedly fighting for those rights that I found out later in life that that was bullshit. Yeah. We weren't fighting for rights then. And the people in Afghanistan and Iraq or anywhere else where we're having these covert activities of fighting for rights of anyone except the people that control this government. When you have the best government that money can buy, then the officials that make the decisions will make it for those who give them the money. So it's time to come to grips with reality and believe in ourselves that we have the power to be the change that must come if we are to survive on this earth. And I say on this earth because throughout history, our country have been the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. Those were the words of Dr. King.
And there you have Will Williams speaking to the Veterans for Peace National Convention outside, as we had an outside event, and then there was a march after that through the streets of downtown Madison. And we are going to have, on next week's program, we're going to have more from Will Williams. He is a very powerful speaker and has a lot of interesting things to say about the current situation, not only with the Capitol in Wisconsin, in Madison, but also about the Syria war and about a perspective on war and peace in general and what we should be fighting for and what we should not be fighting for. So he's a very powerful speaker. Also, on next week's program, we're going to have a speech by Greg Palast. We're going to have some of that, and possibly more from John Nickel as well. There was a lot of great people in Madison in early August for all these different events that I described previously, and we're going to do a lot with them. So we'd like to say goodbye for now. This has been Spectrum 360, and we are going to have more for you next week. And we want to improve this program every week, and we hope that it's going to be better and better for you. And what do you have to say? I think it's this.
That's all, folks.
Bruce, any last comments?
Yeah, I just like to say we're real excited about this show and how it's going to develop in the future. Lots of live reports will be coming in the future, hopefully a report about Syria next week. And stay tuned, Spectrum 360.
Connected to the breeze. The breeze is connected to the
love and respect.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.